Hey there. Welcome to the Monday edition of Following the Truth. It's August 31st. My name is Gary Zimek, and guess what? There is a chair right here that I reserved for you. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you can stick around with me. Grab a snack, grab a beverage, get comfortable, because we got lots to talk about today. We're going to focus on the Mass readings from today's Daily Mass, because they're really, really good. Not that they're ever not good, but today, especially, I was hearing these at Mass today, and the Spirit was moving me, saying, Gary, you got to talk about these readings, because there are several points that we really need to focus on. The main one being, and I love this one because it almost sounds kind of silly. We'll get into it in a few minutes, but St. Paul makes the point that you shouldn't listen to his persuasive words of wisdom, but you should listen to the power brought by the Holy Spirit. Now, look, I'm somebody who speaks about Jesus for a living. That's what I do. So it seems kind of ludicrous that I'm going to stand here and tell you, or sit here to be more accurate, and tell you, don't listen to my persuasive words of wisdom, which I hope that I'm going to have a few nuggets of wisdom for you. But here's the point that I want to make, and this is what we're going to hit on today's show. That I can speak till I'm blue in the face about Jesus, about why you should have a relationship with Jesus. I can give you facts about the Catholic faith and why it's the one true church, and how, you know, and go through all the ins and outs of what we as Catholics believe. And all of that talk is not going to do you one bit of good unless you sit down and spend some time encountering Jesus, and encountering the Father, and encountering the Holy Spirit. It's got to be not just intellectual, but it's got to be experiential, meaning that you got to live this faith by spending time with God. And I think so many of us struggle with this. This has been an ongoing problem for me, because it's hard for me, I'm going to be honest, it's hard for me sometimes to just sit still. And as an old spiritual director of mine used to say, waste time with God. You ever feel like you're doing that sometimes? No, I got to be reading more. I got to be studying more. I got to learn more, more facts, more knowledge about Jesus, about the Father, about the Holy Spirit, about the saints. Well, how about if you spend a little time with them? Now, I'm not saying you don't, but it's just such an important point, and I'm glad Paul makes it. Because look, he wrote a lot of convincing words. They're inspired words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down in the Bible. But unless you spend time in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his words are only going to get you so far. I've heard plenty of inspirational speakers, maybe non-Christian ones too. They have good things to say. But eventually what happens, you encounter that bad day or that really serious problem, and you kind of forget about their words. And it can be the same thing with people who talk about the faith. And again, I do it for a living. I write and I speak about the church, about Jesus, about the Father, about the Holy Spirit. That's what I do. But I can tell you only so much. That's why in my books and when I speak, I always say you've got to take this to the Lord yourself. I can give you the steps. I can tell you how you can break free from worry. But unless you spend time in the presence of Jesus, it's not going to happen. Or you're just going to get so far. You can get a little ways, but eventually you're going to just run out of gas. So that's what we'll talk about today. The importance of spending time with God. It really is critical. So I hope you had a great weekend. I had a nice weekend. Looking forward to beginning another week. Get to kick it off with you. I just found out a couple of hours ago that I will be on Relevant Radio tomorrow on the Morning Air program at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I've been asked at the last minute to fill in for one of the regular guests who could not make it. So I'm excited about that. We're going to talk about fear and anxiety, and how you deal with your fears. So if you're able to call into the show, that would be great. It's going to be Relevant Radio, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be on for about 30 minutes or so. And it's always a pleasure when I get to hang out with my friend John Harper on the air. So I hope you'll be able to tune in. either at relevantradio.com online or through your local Relevant Radio station. Affiliate, I guess, is the appropriate word. But anyway, I really do hope your weekend is great. I hope you are doing well. You know, these are tricky times for a lot of reasons. I was thinking about that today. Some people are afraid of the pandemic. Some people are afraid that somebody's lying to us. The pandemic's not as bad. Some people are afraid of businesses going under. And you know what? These are all real and legitimate fears or concerns. How do we deal with these problems? You know, on the news, the riots, the violence, the division. It's pretty ugly out there, don't you think? You know how you deal with it? And this is really what I believe. You deal with it by having a personal relationship with God. You talk to your Father. You talk to Jesus. You let Him lead you. And you depend on the Holy Spirit to work through you. I can't do it alone. I cannot be a Christian without the help of the Holy Spirit. Actually, none of us can. We can try. But again, we will only be... We will only get so far. We only get so far when we do that. So we need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in order to deal with a crazy world. And yes, believe it or not, you can experience peace even in the midst of the world's craziness. But you need to make that connection, which is good, because that's the topic of today's program. So I hope you're doing well. And I really do understand there could be so many different angles. So many different reasons, I should say. That's more accurate. So many different reasons for your anxiety right now. And some of them might have nothing to do with what I just mentioned. You might have personal, family problems. You might be lonely. Your health might not be good. I mean, it could be so many different things. But honestly, the Lord is the answer. And I hope that through this program, I can bring you a little bit of comfort and relief. Again, it's not me. That's why I always ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me, so that hopefully I can grant you a little peace, a little hope, a little joy out of life through the Holy Spirit working in me. So let me cut the talk right now. Let's pray and let's ask for that inspiration of the Spirit to work through me and to open our minds and our hearts so that we can hear the word. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, once again I come before you. Very blessed to be here in this position of speaking to my Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. Father, you are all-powerful. You can do all things. You've created the entire universe out of nothing. The sky, the stars, the planets, the mountains, the oceans, the trees, all creatures, human, animal, insect. Your creativity is unbelievable. Father, we come to you expectantly and confidently, first thanking you for our needs, and then thanking you for our blessings, I should say, and then thanking you for, I got this wrong, I'm going to try this one more time, Father, sorry. Thanking you for our blessings and asking you for our needs today. Please grant them everything we need, material, spiritual, pleasant, unpleasant, whatever we need this day, please send it along and grant us the grace to deal with it. If it's good, help us not to overlook that it comes from you and be grateful. And number two, if it's bad or unpleasant, you know, we could have needs that are only addressed by carrying a cross. We ask that you give us the grace to be able to experience peace in the midst of our trials. Father, we pray for all of our family and friends. We pray for the entire world. May all of their hearts be opened up to a deeper relationship with you. We pray, Father, for the grace to stay free from sin this day. I pray, Father, for an increased outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Please send your Spirit to come alive in us. Grant me the words to speak on this program. Let me know what it is that I'm supposed to say. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As always, thanks for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday. And, you know, if you want to find out more about my work, please go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website. You can also find out about my books there, including the new one that'll be out in a few weeks, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. In addition, you can sign up for my daily email devotional, which is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, free of charge. It's an email you get every day based on a Bible verse, a reflection, very short, something digestible. And don't worry, when you provide your email address, I'm not going to spam you. It's just a way for me to reach out and you and me can keep in contact. Okay, so you can find all that out at followingthetruth.com. So I said we're going to talk about the daily mass readings today. These are good ones. And I'm looking at my daily missal that has the readings, and I underlined a few words that really stood out. And you know, just a recommendation, if you are going to daily mass, or if you're watching at home, or if you're following along with the readings, it's always a good idea to ask the Holy Spirit before you start to open your mind or direct you to what it is that you are supposed to get out of it. You and me, we could read the same reading, and the Holy Spirit could speak differently to each of us. That's good. That's a good thing, and that's the beauty of sacred scripture, because it is inspired by the Spirit. It's not just a book. It's a living, breathing person. The Spirit is speaking to us through these readings, but it's always good to ask the Spirit to help you before you start. And I'm going to share with you what I got out of these readings today, beginning with the first reading, which is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's what Paul says. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom. Now, look, I'm going to tell that to you right now. I'm in the same boat. Don't laugh, but I'm not a genius or an intellectual. I know. You can get off the floor and stop laughing now. But you know what I'm saying? I don't consider myself an intellectual. I don't consider myself to have a lot of intellectual wisdom or eloquence. I'm just a regular guy who talks to you about the power of a relationship with Jesus and how he's changed my life. That's what Paul's saying. You know, we give Paul a lot of credit, and Paul did say some amazing things. But look, he's being humble here, and he's understanding that God's working through him. He's not saying that what he is saying is not a great message, because it is a great message. But what he's stating is that this isn't him. He doesn't have a lot of wisdom and eloquent words, but yet he lets the Spirit work through him. And that's the hope for all of us. We might not think we're qualified to preach the gospel, but the Lord doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. You might have heard that saying before. It's a good one. Paul states this, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." All right? "I came to you," Paul says, "in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." Paul didn't come with a lot of powerful speech, but he depended on the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit worked through Paul in some incredible ways. There were miracles associated with Paul's ministry, some powerful manifestations of the Spirit. That may or may not happen in your life. If you go to speak to somebody about God, you may or may not see miraculous events, such as healings. I would always say pray for the miraculous healing, because the Lord uses imperfect, humble people all the time through which to perform healings. They're not performing the healings, he is. But I recommend you do it, because you can really help somebody's faith to grow if they witness a physical healing. I mean, that is, so I always recommend pray for the physical healing, but you won't always get that. But what you'll get sometimes is you'll talk to somebody, you'll witness, you'll point out a Bible verse or a spiritual book or a podcast, right? To somebody who might be hurting, to somebody who might be struggling, to somebody who might not have a deep relationship with Jesus. And you'll notice a change in that person. You know, not always radical, sometimes a slight change, a subtle change. And they might be more open. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you know, when you speak to somebody, like when I'm speaking to you about the gospel, about reading scripture, about letting Jesus help you overcome your worry, I'll give you steps. But I'm also going to tell you, go spend time with Jesus and let his Spirit work in you. You know, you spend time with him in prayer, through the sacraments, through the Bible. These are ways you can spend time with Jesus and just sit in his presence, in his real presence if possible, maybe in front of a tabernacle or at your adoration chapel if your church is open and you're still able to do that. But you can speak to him spiritually and be in his presence wherever you are. I've got my chair, my prayer chair that I sit every morning. I sit in that chair every morning. And I start my conversation with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. We have that time together. And then I'll go to Mass and get to spend time with Jesus when he's fully present in the Eucharist. But I have these times throughout the day that I sit in the presence of the Lord. And that's one of the ways that I've gotten to know him. That's one of the ways that I've learned to trust him more. It's because I'm encountering him every day and letting the power of his Spirit work in me. Because otherwise, these suggestions, they sound far-fetched sometimes. These things we're asked to believe about our faith, about trusting, sounds really far-fetched. Oftentimes, the message of Jesus is at odds with the message of the world. People think, well, that doesn't make sense. So unless you know him, you're never going to be able to follow him and believe him. And you can't know him from a book alone. You're going to only know Jesus and know him deeply by having a personal encounter with him. That's important. That's really, really important. Okay, so let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. Lord, I love your commands. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? We don't hear a lot of that nowadays. Lord, I love your commands. Why? How could anybody say that? That's stupid. I love it when you tell me what to do. You're commanding me. When this was written, the Israelites would, at least some of them, you know, a lot of them rejected it, but some of them, the ones who really had faith and who believed, they would look at the commandments of God as a communication from him. In other words, he's telling them what's good for them. He's not trying to take their fun away. Same thing with us. He's not trying to take our fun away when the Lord speaks through his church. He's trying to help us so that we will know what we should do and avoid doing in order to please him and in order to be happy. How I love your law, O Lord. It is my meditation all the day. Your command has made me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers when your decrees are my meditation. I have more discernment than the elders because I observe your precepts. You see what's happening here? When we spend time with the Lord and try to understand what he's teaching us, we learn about him. We grow closer to him. And we also get to be wise because he shares his wisdom with us. From every evil way I withheld my feet, that I may keep your words. From your ordinances I turn not away, for you have instructed me. And you know, that really is a good thing, because here's what happens. When we refuse to listen to the church, the teachings of the church, right? The church founded by Jesus. You know what happens when we refuse? It's a pride issue, because we think, nobody's going to tell me what to do. What do these priests and bishops and the Pope know about married life? How can they teach me or tell me what I can do in the bedroom? Right? That's a common problem. And I'm not saying these teachings sometimes don't stretch us, because they do. But what I'm saying is that we should recognize, if we really claim to love Jesus, we should study the facts. And the facts tell us that he formed the church, Matthew 16, 18, and 19. It's pretty clear about what's going on with the establishment of a church under the leadership of St. Peter. And if that's the case, then am I going to be so proud as not to listen to the teachings of the church? And look, we've all been guilty at times, at least I have. I've been guilty of that at times because it was inconvenient, uncomfortable, got in my way. But that's because I was self-centered. And there have been times when I didn't like when somebody who maybe I didn't respect would try to tell me what to do, a priest, a bishop. We really want to be careful about that. We really want to be careful about it. So I would encourage you, follow the teachings of the church. It's going to bring you peace. And it's a way to become more humble. It's always easier to make up your own rules. But that's what's so beautiful about this psalm, Psalm 119. Lord, I love your commands. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me your ways. Let me know, Lord, how I should live my life. Because it's not about me. It should be about you. Let's look at this gospel. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So what Jesus did was he followed the law. He followed the customs, the commandments, the regulations of the Jewish faith. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read, which is something that was done, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said in this reading that Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. Now, so far, no problem. Jesus is getting up. He's a reader. He's a lector at church, if you will, right? Does the reading from the Old Testament, what is referred to back at the time of our Lord as the Hebrew Scriptures. So, no problem. Everybody's good with it. They listen to what he had to say. But here's where the heads begin to turn. Jesus then said to them, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I am that guy. I am the Messiah. Can you imagine that? And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, and this is the way we can all be sometimes, wow, that was really powerful. That's a great message. But, and then our minds get a little cynical. Is this not the son of Joseph? In other words, wait a minute. Who's this guy talking like he's God? He's the son of Joseph. We know him. And he said to them, surely you will quote me this proverb, physician, cure yourself, and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum. And he said, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. In other words, Elijah wasn't sent to one of the Israelite widows. He went to an outsider. I see that people are starting to get mad at this. Again, there were many lepers in Israel, Jesus said, during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian, another outsider. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them, and he went away. They wanted to kill him because they were self-righteous. See, they thought they were entitled. Listen, we're the religious people. We're the holy ones. But Jesus saw through the hypocrisy and let them know there are other people who are believing the message who are outsiders, because those people were humble and sincere. And, like, you know, that's the thing we got to remember. We can get a little cocky and a little arrogant sometimes. I'm guilty. I've done this. I try to avoid it, but I still fall into this sometimes. So we want to be careful that we don't think that our life in heaven is guaranteed because we say X number of prayers and we have them memorized and we go to daily mass and we give so much to our church. It's not guaranteed. That's not why we get to heaven. We get to heaven by being humble and through the merits of Christ and the victory that he gained for us on the cross. It's not about us. I'm not earning my way to heaven. And that's the message he's trying to get these people to understand. Be a little open-minded. You know, give other people the benefit of the doubt sometimes. Don't be closed-minded. Don't be self-righteous. And that first reading, just a reminder that this is all about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can work through anybody. We just got to trust the Spirit. And we have to be careful when we get too close-minded. All right, so that's the message I wanted to share with you today. I am completely out of time. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. Don't forget Relevant Radio tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I hope you can call in or listen to the program. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and I look forward to joining you next time on Following the Truth.